Right, we see that every year. There are literally tens of thousands of sharks that come down and spend the winter right off our beaches here in southeast Florida. Black-tipped sharks are a medium-sized shark. They're maybe just about 6 feet long at the most. They're primarily fish eaters, and they will come down, spend the winter down here where the temperature is preferred, less than 25 Celsius, and then they'll follow that preferred temperature up the coast in the spring. And so they migrate farther north and spend the summers off the Carolinas before coming back here again the next year.
Now, I'd imagine as a researcher that you spend a lot of your time with underwater species, but it's up close. Why did you want to get this bird's eye view of the sharks?
Well, for many years, I would get inquiries from the local media saying that their news helicopters, for instance, had seen large numbers of these sharks. And I told them, well, it's a migration, happens every year, it's no big deal. But when I had the opportunity to do the flying myself and see the animals, I said, this is really ripe for exploration. And the best way to address this, to cover a large area of the coast, is to do it via airplane and get this bird's eye view. And that's really the best way to count the numbers of sharks and see how many there are and when they're here. And that's what we started back in 2011.
And besides getting the count, what else do you learn from that vantage point?
It's so interesting because we get not only how many sharks are here, but also their spatial distribution. Do we see more around inlets, or are they, on the inside of the reef, or where are they located? And we also get an idea of the density, the packing. We see very tight patches with lots of sharks, and then large stretches of coastline with no animals at all. And so that top-down view really gives us this perspective that we don't get when we're down on the water.
Now, reading on your biography, your area of expertise is in the sensory biology of sharks and other species, but what exactly does that mean, and what is it you're trying to understand about sharks?
So my training is primarily in understanding how the animals perceive the world around them through their vision, their sense of smell, their electroreceptors, things of that nature. And when it comes to migration, one of the big outstanding questions is how are these animals able to make these long-distance migrations over, largely unmapped terrain and still come back to the same spot? And here's where I think it's interesting because you can tie together their ability to use the Earth's magnetic field, this magnetoreception, to use that as a mechanism to help them home in. And that's sort of bringing together the migratory study as well as the sensory physiology study. That's my actual background.
And of course, you were talking about, understanding their sensory nerves and how they really, I guess, move around, how they know what's in front of them and what they're doing. When it comes to shark attacks, they don't see us, right? It's something else that they're sensing about us.
Well, that's only partially true. So what's happening here is in southeast Florida, we are really fortunate to have such beautiful, clear water for the most part. And the sharks can come up to you and see, oh, that's a person. That's not a fish. I'm not going to bite that. And they'll leave us alone. But in contrast, if you go farther north, New Smyrna or Daytona area, they lead the state in the number of bites on people. And most of those are black-tipped sharks. And the water up there is much more murky. So the shark may hear the splashing and thrashing and go to investigate, but it can't quite see. Is that a person or a fish? The water's turbid, and so it takes a bite. And it turns out, oh, that's a person's hand. Well, that's too bad, but by then the damage has been done.
Sharks are an amazing species from the standpoint when you look at evolution. It's a creature that's existed for hundreds of millions of years and survived numerous extinction-level events. And the current sharks, my understanding, I'm not the expert, are very similar to their ancestors dating back 60 million years ago. Why is this species so durable?
I'd like to think of it that evolution got it right in the first place. And if you have a design that's robust and able to respond to changing environments relatively well, then it's going to persist. If you're extremely specialized, you may be more prone to being wiped out by extinction. But if you've got this generalized body plan that can do so many different things, I think you've basically got this buffer, this built-in insulation, which enables you to be successful. And I think that's what we're seeing with the sharks.
All right. How many different species exist off Florida waters, especially here in South Florida?
So of the more than 400 shark species worldwide. We have several of them right here in South Florida. And several of the species that we have, 25, 30 plus, in addition to those ones that you're likely to encounter, there are a large number of individuals that are found in deep water. Sharks that we're never going to see unless you're specifically targeting deep water sharks. So there are probably well in the range of 50 different shark species in South Florida, of which we'd only see regularly maybe half of those.
All right. According to the University of Florida's International Shark Attack File, 2015 saw a record number of shark attacks worldwide, 98. Florida, again, by far the leader. They predict the number's only going to grow because the population of humans grows and more people want to be in the water. Is there a way to make beaches safer for people and sharks?
I think one of the best ways to try and make everyone safer is through public education, informing the public that the sharks are there and what sort of conditions are most likely conducive to a person being bitten by a shark and stay out of the water under those conditions. So, for example, like dusk or dawn, when you've got relatively poor lighting, it may be difficult for the shark to discern, is that shiny, flashy thing a fish or is it the palm of someone's hand? And so stay out of the water under those conditions. If the water's really turbid, you know, you don't want to be in the water then. Things of that nature. So informing the public about what the risks are, when they have the greatest chance of being bitten, that's really the best way to keep the public safe.
Now, you recall a study perhaps a few years ago on the overfishing of sharks, and it stated roughly 100 million sharks are killed annually. And a big reason is the fishing for shark fins. What happens to sea life and the food chain if the shark population is destroyed?
The sharks really occupy the top of the food pyramid. And so if you don't have those top-level predators basically keeping in check the next layer down in the food chain, what you'll see is that next layer can proliferate, and they will potentially have an impact on the layer under them. And you have this cascading effect through multiple trophic levels. And so by reducing the number of sharks, you may actually end up throwing off the balance of the entire ecosystem. It's really important that this ecosystem has evolved and being stable for a very long time, and humans have only started making a big impact in it in the last maybe, you know, few decades, realistically. And so we are providing this enormous impact, and evolution has not had a chance to catch up. It's we're simply too strong an impact too quickly. And so I think that's one of the biggest concerns, is that by having the sharks reduced in population, we could be seeing huge effects which nature is simply not able to keep up with.
Do you remember your first ever encounter with a shark?
I do. In fact, I was scuba diving in Bonaire, and I looked behind one of the other divers, and I saw a black-tipped shark go by. And I thought, oh, that's cool. Didn't think much of it. When I mentioned it to my friends, they said, we never see those. That's amazing. Your very first dive here, and you saw a shark, and we've never seen them. And so I thought that was fun. That was my first real encounter diving with a shark.
All right. Seldom do I hear someone say that was fun, but is that your favorite shark story, or do you have another favorite shark story in your life?
Oh, man. There have been so many incidents with sharks in my life. All of them have been fantastic. I don't have any bad stories to tell, so I really can't choose a single one.
I did want to finish with this because I found this interesting. You know, I once encountered a shark when I was in college. I spent a lot of time in college on a surfboard, and I remember it was beautiful and frightening all at the same time. And I did find myself wanting to get close to see it. I realized it was a small shark, maybe 6 feet. I was on a 9-foot surfboard, so maybe I thought I had that advantage. But I didn't want to get too close. I think about that moment, and then I say to myself, I find sharks so appealing, so interesting, and yet I would never want to get close to a great white. And I'm wondering, is that fear because of the fact that movies like Jaws have kind of put that in our minds? Or is that a justifiable fear because maybe the great white is just really ferocious?
You know, there are a couple of different ways of looking at this. Number one is certainly the media has portrayed these animals as very aggressive, and they always show the big, nasty teeth and things of that nature, which plays into our basic fear of being, eaten. And so to that extent, yes, certainly the media has played a large role in the public perception of the animals. But at the same time, recognize that humans have only started going into the water in the last, 100 years or so. We are not an aquatic species. And so we are always naturally apprehensive of being in that environment that's not our native habitat. And so we are already a little bit on edge, even if it's subconsciously, when we're in a foreign habitat like that. And so the fear of being bitten is genuine. And I think it harkens back to our fundamental evolutionary makeup. We are terrestrial primates, and we're in an aquatic realm where we are no longer the king of the hill. And we have this genuine fear of the unknown.
And I bring it up also because of the fact that I saw a story recently of someone spotting a great white shark 4 miles off the coast, though, South Florida. You talk about all the different species. Is the great white, let me do that again. Is the great white a shark that kind of swims around this area?
In fact, the great white is found right here in South Florida. We see them here in the wintertime in particular. And we have evidence from some studies where white sharks tagged off New England have been detected right down here off South Florida. And so we know they're making this migration down here and then going back up north again. It might even be that maybe they're feeding on the black tips when they're down here as well. I mean, the black tips are prey for larger sharks.